Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I'm working on my stand-up comedy routine.
Well, that's great, Jim. Let me hear a little bit.
Okay, here it goes. I gotta get in character here.
Okay.
In 1991, you don't go to Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza goes to you.
Boo! Boo! Up the stairs!
Thank you. You've been a great audience. Don't forget to tip your waitresses.
No! Okay. You're the worst! Give her the yank!
Okay, Patrick, we have for this episode a caller.
Yes, we do. This is very exciting. A friend of the show.
A friend of the show. You're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us via telephone is our friend Randall Brown. Hello, Randall.
Hello, it's me.
Hey, man.
So happy
How
you could.
Are you guys?
Good.
We're doing all right. So happy you could join us. And the first question we have is, what are you drinking?
Oh my gosh, I don't have a drink. I have coffee on.
Coffee?
That yeah. works.
I have coffee on upstairs. I put a pot on and I came down to start doing some writing. And so, but thank you for reminding me. I'll say my official answer is coffee.
All right.
My money was on sweet tea.
Yeah, right. I've got to brew some.
Yeah.
Well, Randall's probably recovering because last night
yes.
was his band Quart Jar's big CD release party,
yeah.
right?
Yes, raw.
How'd that go?
How was it?
It went pretty good. We didn't pack the place like sardines, as in my rock and roll, you know, fantasies of a CD release show. But we had a good crowd. We had a bunch of friends, and this relates to the Lollapalooza question that I think you're going to ask me later.
Yes.
Yeah. if I spill the beans,
no.
We had three. Post-festival fans, three folks who heard us at the Rhythm and Blooms Festival here in Knoxville back in April.
Oh, nice.
Came to the show because they saw us our two different sets back then, and so they wanted to see us again, which that felt like a big success.
That's very cool.
And we sold a few CDs, and I think I remembered all the words all the way through. It's always the second or third verse when I'm really feeling the guitar part, and then I remember, oh, I got to sing the rest of those words.
I'm the singer, too.
The words that we wrote.
So,
but, yeah, we had a... Anyway, good time. Played the whole album, did a couple of new songs, and the crowd went wild.
Awesome. So,
anyone who does not know, if you're a new listener, or maybe, you know, you haven't made this connection yet.
Yes.
Quart Jar, out of Knoxville, Tennessee, wrote a little song mm-hmm. called Ascension,
yes,
which a little piece of it serves as our opening theme music to Rockin' the
right.
Suburbs, right? And so
we
appreciate that. So people get to hear that on a regular basis, and now is a chance maybe to go and support the band that
Absolutely.
Created that bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, Randall, let's talk a little bit here about the topic of today.
Yes.
Which is Lollapalooza. So the first Lollapalooza tour was this date
1991. Yep,
right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. July 18th.
And you
was
thought
the kickoff of that tour.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, Patrick, you thought this would be a good topic.
Yes.
To talk about
Lollapalooza
so
memories.
You went to one of the shows
I
on
did.
That tour.
Mm-hmm.
Randall turns out went to one of the shows on that tour.
Great.
I don't think it was the same one.
No, probably not.
We'll get to that in a little bit. And then we also put the call out to listeners to ask if any of them had memories.
Yeah.
From that 1991 tour,
mm-hmm.
Lollapalooza. And to the kids who are listening in the audience who don't know this, Lollapalooza used to be a touring festival.
Yes.
Not a single, you know, 3-day or 4-day or whatever it is,
right.
event mm-hmm. in Chicago the way it is now.
Where you went
yeah.
where you went to Lollapalooza now, they used to bring it to you.
Right.
That was the cool thing about it.
And there's a lot of, I think, sort of significance of that tour in terms of music history.
Yeah.
We'll get to that all in a little bit here. But first, let's read this email we got
okay.
from Brian Smith.
All right, okay? Brian.
He says, first off, he says, hey, guys, great topic.
Yeah.
So he's already excited. There's an exclamation point there, too. He says, I remember Lollapalooza 1991 being the hottest, dirtiest, and most enthralling concert experience I had ever experienced.
Wow.
The show was the complete antithesis of years of seeing small alternative bands in cramped dark clubs, mm-hmm. and it was mind-blowing. The bands and the booths far outweighed the weather and water issues, but more importantly, I remember the vibe being so relaxed and chill. Even though there was some aggressive music in that original lineup, I know that me and my group of friends were just so happy to be there, and I know we weren't the only ones.
Yeah.
And he says, thanks for asking and keep up the great work, Brian. And then he says, P.S. in all caps, it was so hot.
I had the same experience, man.
But I think this is an important email here to start off with, because he really gets into how significant an experience that was for people like us who sort of grew up in an era where quote unquote alternative music was truly that, and it was sort of shunted off to the side.
That's
right. Here it was being showcased in a major way, right?
Yep, exactly. And, you know, I think historically festivals had always been things that sort of, you know, like you said, stayed in one place and people traveled there and sort of camped out, you know, like many festivals are today. And the idea of taking everybody on the road in one big sort of traveling circus, you know, was pretty unprecedented at the time. And, you know, there had been some limited cases of that in rock and roll history here and there. You know, I think of like the Festival Express thing with Janis Joplin and the Grateful Dead and the band, where they kind of went on a train across Canada. And, you know, there have been a few things here and there. But at that scale, you know, that was unprecedented. And this first tour didn't even have the second stage or the side stage. You know, this first one was kind of like one stage where, you know, the bands kind of played. And it really was a groundbreaking and pretty fascinating tour that really did take alternative music to a different level. And they had the Butthole Surfers. So that was great.
Right. So do you guys want to run through the original lineup of Lollapalooza?
Yeah,
who
we
were
could
the bands
do that
on that tour?
Uh-huh. And I don't know all of them exactly, but I can name a few that I remember seeing.
Why don't you guys each try to name them, and I'm going to check you here. I'm
all
looking
right.
it up right now.
All right. So, well, I already threw the Butthole Surfers out there. So, Randall, who else do you remember?
Well, I have to disclose I've cheated already.
Okay. That's all right.
Because I couldn't remember. And I'm staring at a list right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So who is it?
But it's the Butthole Surfers from opening act to headliner. It was
yep.
Rollins Band.
Right.
Butthole Surfers, Ice T and Body Count.
Yep.
Nine Inch Nails. Wow. Living Color, Susie and the Banshees.
Yes.
And Jane's Addiction.
That was it, man.
And I gotta say, I don't know if it's just been so long or what. So many concerts since then, but I looked at this list and I was like, really?
That was a great show.
All those bands that day. And because in my memory, like the headliners for me were Rollins Band and Butthole Surfers.
Yeah, that's
me and everything too. Else was just gravy.
Yeah, those are the two bands I wanted to see the most by far.
So I think now the way the historical record will read, incorrectly, is that Nirvana launched sort of the '90s alternative revolution, right? Nevermind came out in September of 1991.
This was the summer before.
This tour preceded that, right?
That's right.
So, and it was organized by Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction. And so he saw that there was an opportunity here, that there were a lot of, you know, kids like us who now, you know, had reached sort of a critical mass, wanted to go out and see shows like this, maybe now had a little bit of money to spend, you know, and could do that. And he put on this tour, and it ended up becoming really successful, right?
Incredible, yeah. And I will say, you know, to kind of follow on what Randall was saying, the internet's a wonderful thing. And if you actually go to janesaddiction.org, they've got links for every show from that first tour. And you can actually see, if you can see here, they've actually got the itinerary. They've got scans of, like, the tickets, what they look like, the backstage passes. You can even see the schedule of, like, when each band was supposed to go on stage. Like, it's a really cool resource for that first tour. But yeah, I remember a lot about it. I remember the heat, and I also remember that lineup. I do remember Living Color playing now, but I think I'd kind of locked that out a little bit.
Well, that's a funny thing. I didn't go see Lollapalooza, but when you talk about this, it's funny that a couple of bands are still around.
Yes.
So Jane's Addiction's still around. They do every once in a while. They're not necessarily really like a consistent sort of working band anymore. But Nine Inch Nails, certainly.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. Huge band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, but then a band like Living Color, they kind of just, they were huge back then. They kind of fell off.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Earth, right.
Vernon Reid, he was a very talented guitar player, and they had sort of a certain sound. They were a pretty hard rock band.
Take a quick little break here. Let's promote something, and then we will come back, and we're going to hear you guys talk about your experiences a little bit.
Hear what Randall has to say.
Randall's
going to be good.
Hazy memories.
Right on.
And but before we do that, let's go out of this segment with a Facebook comment from one of our listeners, Jeffrey Rozier.
Okay.
I like this. He says he did not go to Lollapalooza 91. He says, I was, quote unquote, too punk rock. And I was he says, I was upset that Rollins, quote, sold out and got the opening slot. All my line cook coworkers who I looked down on musically went, while I retained my punk rock purity and stayed home. Looking back, that was pretty stupid of me and a missed opportunity.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting perspective from the other side. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Some people didn't want their music to be showcased fashion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But funny that the sort of like it already appealed to kind of like the masses,
yeah,
to some extent. Yeah. It was a big success, like, mm-hmm, right out of the gate.
So. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's take a moment. Let's promote something. We'll come back and we'll hear more memories.
All right.
Lollapalooza. All right. Hey, Patrick, we have this special guest on the show.
We do.
And it seems like really a golden opportunity. He doesn't know we're going to do this. To promote the fact that we love his music,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man. Korchar is an amazing band, and we love listening to their stuff. And it's incredible that they have that signature, piece of one of their songs at the beginning of our show.
That's right. We love it. They have this great, like, rock style. It's,
yeah,
a power trio, and they do all kinds of just, you know, great rock riffs and hard licks, but then also some really kind of like cosmic trippy stuff. I know they're fans of like the Flaming Lips and stuff like that.
Yep.
So you get a lot of just really cool, diverse, fun musical influences with Korchar.
Yep.
It's a great listen, and I think they even have a new album out.
Right? They might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a release party last night, so I hope they do. So Randall, what is that album called again?
It's called Squatch, An Odyssey in Space and Time.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for all your sweet words for our rock and roll.
Oh, man, you guys are great. And
it's well worthy.
Where can people hear the new music and the old music, too?
Yep.
Well, the one-stop shopping place is Bandcamp, courtjar.bandcamp.com. And things can be streamed there, downloaded, and all that good stuff. And then we're on all the sort of downloadable sites like iTunes and what.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to it at work sometimes on Google Play.
Nice.
giving myself those pennies back into the streaming coffer. And also, if anybody wants a hard copy, they can track us down on Facebook, and we'll work something out. We don't have a thing set up directly to just shoot a CD out automatically, but you can get with us personally and we'll certainly set somebody up.
So message you on Facebook or put up a comment, something like that, and then you'll say, like, here's, yeah, how we can get you a CD.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great. Would the CD be autographed?
It could be, sure.
That'd be cool. Or just ask
it
us.
It could even be one of us.
Yeah. I was going to say, right? Jim, if they want us to sign a Korchar CD, we'll do that,
we'll
too.
We'll figure it out.
We'll, yeah, do anything,
absolutely,
we need. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, thanks very much, Randall. And people sometimes say that I don't pronounce it very well and they don't understand what I'm saying. So it's Korchar, Q-U-A-R-T-J-A-R.
That's right. I just
ding,
call
ding,
him
ding.
The Q.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, everyone. Support local music and support Korchar.
The jar.
And we're going to go back to the show proper.
Okay.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about Lollapalooza, 1991,
mm-hmm,
when we were much younger.
Well, you
I
know,
had less gray hair.
I had more hair, a lot more hair.
Same here. I feel compelled to say, but I was so much older then, and I'm younger than that
exactly,
now.
Exactly, that's how I feel.
Okay, so Patrick, Patrick, we're going to get into your memories,
yeah,
a little bit. Should we read this email from Will Croxton?
Let's read that email from Will Croxton,
should
a dear friend.
Should we get that first, or should we do that after you talk?
Let's go okay. ahead and read Will's email.
All right, so Will emailed, and he apparently went to the same show as you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's
Fairfax Park in Reston, Virginia. Yeah.
In Reston. Okay.
Lake Fairfax.
Lake
yeah.
Fairfax. All right. I don't know this to be a concert venue.
Oh,
so
it's
this
not.
Is a funny
yeah.
story. Okay. Will Croxton emails, and he writes, I went to the first tour in Northern Virginia. First memory is them making you pour out your water at the front gate. Second memory is them running out of water about 2 hours later and then announcing that water was on its way and charging $4 a bottle
yeah.
when it arrived.
Mm-hmm.
If you played sick, you could go to the medic tent and get water.
Yeah.
Stray observations, and he bullet points these. Missed Rollins due to waiting to pour out water. saw many superior butthole surfers shows elsewhere, even outdoor afternoon ones.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails using a smoke machine in broad daylight with the wind crossing the stage was kind of funny.
Yes, I remember that.
And then his last one, he says, Jane's Addiction came on just as the sun was setting. It was like seeing Led Zeppelin, or what I've heard it was like. one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
Erased all memory of the day.
Yeah, so interesting.
And that's from Will.
Thank you, Will. Good man. And I know
right on.
That I went to the same show Will went at Lake Fairfax Park, not a concert venue. I remember the people of Reston being outraged that so many cars were blocking Route 7 and 606 and all the, you know, you couldn't get out. I'm sure those neighborhoods were kind of like pinned in. But yeah, the overriding memory was it was middle of August, 1991, super hot.
Uh-huh.
And they ran out of water, like within an hour. And there were literally... many people having to be treated by the firefighters and paramedics there for heat related, you know, problems, lightheadedness and just being overcome by the amount of people that were there. I also remember there being a lot of black clothing being worn, which was probably like soaking up the heat. You know, it was very much that kind of thing. I do specifically remember going with a friend of mine, I remember that our oldest daughter, Sadie, was born in May of 1991. So there was a three-month-old baby at home, and I was not getting the late pass to like stay out and do a rock and roll thing all day long. So I actually left before Jane's Addiction played, because I had to get home, man.
Right.
You know, there was a baby there, and I knew nothing about taking care of a baby. But I remember, and I agree with Will, the Butthole Service had played other shows, and it was just too early in the morning for the, you know, it was like 12:30 in the afternoon to get there that early to see the Butthole Surfers just seemed wrong at the time. But yeah, I remember the Smoke Machine, the Nine Inch Nails had, being pretty funny. I also remember a couple of trucks from like a pool company pulling up next to the side of the gates and actually spraying water from the outside in on the crowd. Like they had these big hoses that they used, for like irrigation, you know, and you would lay down like new grass and you would water a whole lawn or like a big football field. They shot the spray over the fence onto the crowd to like cool them off to a standing ovation. There was just some company that pulled up and started spraying people.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so you mentioned this park where they had the show. That was also sort of a staple of the early Lollapalooza, was that they would play at sort of non-traditional venues.
Alternate
right?
venues, yeah. And the first 2 years they did it at Lake Fairfax Park, which is just a strange place to do it. And then I remember it was weird because they moved it away from the Northern Virginia area, and they for like the next 3 years they had it at Charlestown Raceway in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah,
which really isn't that far from like here, right?
No, it's
like
not.
From Leesburg you can get to Charlestown in, I don't know, 40 minutes or something.
Under an hour, sure.
Yeah, and I went to one of those the later when Sonic Youth was on that tour. I went to that one, but I also remember having the sense, like Will said, why would you make people pour the water out? And then I can understand because you might have alcohol or something in there, but also of an event where, wow, we've never done this before, and we're trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like running out of water and then having to emergency order like 1,000 cases or something. Like you could tell there was some experiences that, yeah.
That's right. Okay, and Randall, where did you go to the Lollapalooza show?
I saw it at the Lakewood Amphitheater in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the date, August 18th, 1991. And thinking about going to that place. That was the first time I'd been to Lakewood. But I think at that time, the big amphitheater type venue was kind of the new, like the cutting edge of big venues.
Yeah.
I remember there was the Starwood in Nashville and the Lakewood in Atlanta. And I've seen pictures of other, you know, big tours that still go on, and I have to look twice at some of these amphitheater like concert shots because they all kind of look like the same kind of place, and it may have been, you know, the same company going around selling these amphitheaters to cities.
Maybe.
But so things I remember are crazy traffic on the way to Atlanta, which is, it could be any day of any moment. But I remember a big traffic jam, but we got down there. I don't remember if we went down the night before or what we did, but I went down with a couple of friends, and I remember the heat as well. I think water was pretty readily available.
That's good.
Though, you know, the concessions were there for purchase. I went to two Lollapaloozas at Lakewood, and so I have to kind of really think to separate which one was which. I went 90... I'm going to call it 94. Yeah, 94, which was like Smashing Pumpkins was the headline.
Yeah.
But back in 91, I was semi into Jane's Addiction. And I think I would have like kind of forgotten Living Color because at the time I considered them a pop band.
Yeah.
And going back to your emailer about thinking about, you know, Rollins Band having sold out, I didn't put anything into like thoughts of someone selling out, but I would have been much more the punk who would have been like Rollins Band and Butthole Surfers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I remember the heat, and I remember it was the first concert where it felt like some kind of, you know, throwback to Woodstock, because we were on the lawn,
mm-hmm.
You know, 100 yards away from the band, looking through the covered seats and trying not to get sunburnt.
Yeah.
And trying to remember where our friends were sitting when we went to get a drink and come back, you know, echolocating across the hillside.
No text messaging existed at that time, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It was old-fashioned, you know, compass and sextant stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember the heat, and I remember, you know, the size of it was something that, like, you know, you're used to seeing bands in a club or some kind of theater on the level of these, you know, the what was not yet called alternative rock. But and as the sun went down, the view got better because the glare didn't block you from seeing. And early in the afternoon, though, the Butthole Surfers got on. I remember the singer Gibby had like a rifle. And I obviously it was, you know, had blanks in it or whatever, but he would just hold it out one-handed and shoot it. And
that sounds like them, yeah.
And my crew was really into the Butthole Surfers back then because we saw them 3 or 4 times at various southern venues,
yeah,
from where anywhere from Atlanta to Cincinnati, mm-hmm, we'd travel. And like the guitarist Paul Leary had this blonde wig that, like, it was like the length, it was one of those down past his butt kind of made him look like a tripping 1970s guitar right. god, because he would also, if you were close enough to see this, he played almost the entire set with his eyes crossed.
Yeah.
So you've got this Lady Godiva hair cross-eyed guitar player and the singer shooting off a rifle. And so
very Buttholes.
Translating that from something at, you know, a nightclub where the lights are flashing into this, you know, the afternoon sun.
Yeah.
That in my memory becomes this surreal kind of thing of like, did that really happen? But yeah, I think it did.
For the most part.
All right. Well, this is cool. This has been really fun.
Yeah. Memory lane.
Yes. All right. So thanks very much, Randall.
Thank you, Randall.
Thank you.
And please do, like, I'm hope that Randall does.
Yeah.
And listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
Every day. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, or TuneIn. You can also find the show and listen there at suburbspod.com. Also, some extra fun stuff there,
yep,
too. And then you can find us also on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at suburbspod. You can email us rock@suburbspod.com, like some people did for this show,
yep,
here. And then the best thing of all, and Randall helped us with,
yes,
this jingle for this, you can call the Suburban Party line.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party line.
Randall, thanks very much for that. And tell us about the woman who is singing on that jingle.
Oh, Jody Manross is a Knoxville legend of sorts. She is just this, one of the sweetest ladies you'd ever want to meet. And she'll step up there to the mic and her voice just booms. And she also has, like I mentioned to you guys earlier, she has a very successful, acupuncture therapy,
yeah,
practice. And Jody is just, an all around fabulous person.
So Randall recruited Jody to sing that for us. And how exciting is it that this is now out there in the world?
It's amazing. Right? Yeah. Thank Jody for us very much and apologize that her career has taken this unfortunate turn.
I'll pass that along.
All right. It's great. But the number to call the Suburban Party Line is 612-440-1984. You can leave a message there, and then your voice will get on a future episode.
Yes, it will.
All right, we got to wrap things up. You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Thanks again, Randall Brown, and we'll talk to you all again tomorrow.
That thing with like Blues Traveler on it that went around too. Yeah,
Horde.
Horde. That's right. The
that
Horde
was sort
festival.
Of the jam band.
That's right. The jam band festival. Yeah.
Festival tour. And then there was Lilith Fair.
Lilith Fair, I was going to say. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which was sort of the female singer-songwriter tour. Right?
What have ye spawned? Lollapalooza. You spawned a lot of things.
That's right.